Welcome to the PKN Podcast, where we give you the wrap on all things packaging.
Welcome to the PKN Packaging News Podcast, brought to you by TriMat. My name's Grant McCarran, and as ever, I'm joined by Linda Hewson, Managing Editor and Publisher of PKN Packaging News and the host of this show. G'day, Lindy. How are you doing today?
Hi, Grant. I'm very, very well, and I'm very thrilled to have with me today a person who needs absolutely no introduction in the Australian packaging industry, but we'll give her one all the same, and that is Nerida Kilton. She is the Executive Director of the Australian Institute of Packaging, and she is also the Vice President for Sustainability and Safe Food on the World Packaging Organization, or the WPO, as we call it. Now, Nerida, welcome to the podcast. This is not your first rodeo. You are joining us now for the fourth time in the whole series of podcasts that we've run, and for good reason, because you are a busy bee and you do a heck of a lot for our industry. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and for bringing me back.
Now, very recently, we had the announcement by the World Packaging Organization President, Luciana Pellegrino. She announced her new executive team for her tenure. She just took over the role in November last year. And I'm sure you were thrilled to see, although it came as no surprise to any of us, that you were reappointed to a second term in this role as VP for Sustainability and Safe Food. Would you like to just share with us what that role actually entails?
Yes, it was. It truly is an honour to be re-elected or reconfirmed as the Vice President for Sustainability and Safe Food. And as you know, Lindy, it's a very large portfolio because there's a lot that sits underneath sustainability and safe food. So I'm certainly excited to continue what we've already been doing. We have a fantastic working group. We would have over 30 people in our working group, and in fact, it's the largest within the WPO. When I first started as a WPO board member, we had about 3 people in that working group. And we have grown that to be such a fantastic topic and such an important topic for the industry that we have a really passionate working group that helps support everything that we're doing within that portfolio. So we represent sustainability all-encompassing and the environmental impacts of sustainability and what that looks like for circular economy for packaging, but we also need to have that conversation about the balance between the environmental impacts of food waste and the whole hot topic of food waste and what we can do as individuals, as an industry, to lower our environmental impacts. And so whilst it's one portfolio, they're two topics. Sometimes they're independent, but then obviously they do interlap as well.
Now, in your first term, which I think spanned about three years, am I correct in that?
Yes, 3 years.
Did manage to get quite a lot of things over the line. And one of those was the work done on the recycling guide and some waste stream mapping tools that you developed. So tell us about those.
So the WPO partnered with Circular Analytics in Austria, the University of Applied Sciences in Austria, and ECR Community, and they developed the Global Packaging Design for Recycling Guide. And the idea of the Global Packaging Design for Recycling Guide is a harmonized design standard for all materials, all substrates, all components. And there are a lot of guides, as you would be aware, Lindy, available in the world for design standards for packaging. But the difference with this one is it's for all materials and all the components that go. So it's not just, it's not the PET or the polymer. It's actually the whole bottle, the cap, the lid, the adhesives, the inks, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a fantastic guide. It's been designed for anyone to use. You don't have to be technical. You don't have to be an industrial designer or a packaging technologist to pick it up and use it. And so for me, I was really excited when we started this project pretty much at the start of my term. And it came out as originally as an English translation. And then we realized we had access to 63 member countries around the world that could potentially support this as a project. And so what we've done is we've developed a project with all of the WPO members to work with them and support them to translate it in their own language. We are so proud because within 2 years, in fact, we have now got 12 translations, which is just amazing. And we have about 6 more on the go at the moment. And for me, what's important about it is that we want the guide to be easily accessible for free for anybody that works in and around packaging in every corner of the world. And so translating it into every language is the ultimate objective for this project. And I think 12's, we've done very well to get to 12.
You definitely have. Another project you've worked on is the Safe Food Packaging Guidelines. And those, I understand you were initiated through your work at the AIP. Tell us more.
So originally, the Safe Food Packaging Guidelines were developed as a part of the End Food Waste Australia Cooperative Research Centre. You may recall the AIP launched a number of years ago the Safe Food Packaging Project and Consortium, and it was an industry-led consortium that developed safe food packaging resources and guidelines. And I'm really pleased to say that we have completed that project and it will be published and made available shortly. So we're very excited to talk to you about that in the future. But one of the things that's come out of this, the positive outcome out of this, is that everybody around the world within the WPO is extremely interested in finding out more for their own country. And so what we are working on now is embedding them across all of the WPO and starting to work with multiple WPO member countries to roll them out within their countries. Two really fantastic examples is I'll be heading off to Hungary very soon, and they will be launching, our WPO member in Hungary will be launching the first ever food waste and safe food packaging conference that they've ever run. And so I will be invited to participate in that as a speaker, and it's a really exciting moment to be able to be there with them as they launch this. And a part of that is launching the guidelines. We've also made a commitment in April to participate in a 3-hour training course for the first time ever with the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And so we have this opportunity now, not only with the guidelines and the resources and the training course that we've developed, we can now roll this out globally. So I would hope in the next few years, you'll start to see more and more WPO member countries utilizing these resources and embedding the principles for safe food packaging guidelines into their packaging design. So again, it's a really exciting thing that we're looking forward to doing with the WPO members.
Now, another exciting program that WPO runs, I know you integrate part of it, although that's not in your portfolio, and that is the World Star Awards program. So bringing us home locally here and in the context of AIP and your PIDA Awards, the Packaging Innovation and Design Awards, tell me about how well the PIDA Award winners, who then enter into the World Stars, that's their exclusive entry point through being a PIDA winner. Tell me how they fared this year and, elaborate.
So for those who may not be aware, the World Star Packaging Awards are only available to countries that are WPO member countries and that have their own localized awards programs in their country or region. And so for Australia and New Zealand, the exclusive entry point for the World Star Awards is through this Australasian Packaging Innovation and Design Awards, or as we call them, the PIDAs, which are coordinated and run by the AIP. And what is truly exciting for us every single year is we kind of joke about this a lot. We punch above our weight, and we're all very proud of that. So we're competing, Lindy, against Japan and China and India and Germany and these massive populations that have, these huge packaging industries. And we're just a teeny tiny little blip in all the percentage of packaging industries around the world. And yet we continue to compete really well with all of the big countries, and so much so that we have maintained a top three position in the world for the last 4 years. So this year we won third in the world, and we were behind Japan and Germany. So to be behind Japan and Germany is pretty good. And so I think that we are doing remarkably well in innovation and design for packaging in Australia and New Zealand. And I always believe it's because we're so far away from the rest of the world that we take risks. And so we're prepared to take those risks and create things that are fantastic and intuitive and innovative. And I think the other reason why this year's third in the world was so special, Lindy, is that they halved the amount of World Star Award winners that were given out. And so even as they halved the amount of winners, we've still maintained a significant position in the world. So for all of those packaging designers that are listening, I really encourage you to enter the PETA Awards, because it's not only about being recognized here in Australia and New Zealand, but also that significant opportunity to be recognized at a very high level globally as well.
And you've been catching them young, as we say, because you've had some success in the Student World Star Awards. Tell us about that.
We have. And so the PETA Student Awards are a newer program for us, even though we established many, many years ago the Southern Cross Awards, you may recall. But the PETA Awards are sort of the new version of that, for want of a better term. And so what we've been doing is, this is a little bit more, it takes a lot longer because we have to work with the universities. And so what we're doing is we're going into universities, degrees that and courses that have some link to packaging. And so we need to be working with graphic design, industrial design, engineering, those types of university degrees where we can come in and talk about packaging. And so obviously the leaders are the industrial design universities like RMIT, UNSW, and we have a fantastic program as well with Monash University. We are hoping, as a side note, we would like to grow what we're doing in New Zealand, and we would like to see some New Zealand universities participate in the program as well. And so basically what it is we go into their degree or their capstone project and we work with them. And so the education team, and it could be six of us, eight of us, we spend a significant amount of months going into their courses, and we help them to design better packaging. It might be accessible and inclusive. It could be sustainable. It could be safe food packaging. It depends on the students. It depends on the projects. This year, we're super excited because RMIT Industrial Design have agreed to do their capstone project with us, and they're honors students, and they will be teams of honors students. So we're really anticipating some fabulous designs that are going to come out of that. UNSW, just to give you an idea, this year absolutely excelled in the PETA student program, but they also excelled in the World Star. And I just found out this morning that we came second in the world for the first time ever for the PETA Student Awards. And we won our first ever. They have like best in show. So they have like, gold, silver and bronze for best in show. We've never won a best in show, and we won silver this year. And the same student that won the silver also went on to win a gold for sustainability. So I'm personally really excited about that. And he also won a silver in food. And then we had our first ever health and pharmaceutical category winner. They also won one of the top three awards, and we've just done remarkably well. So again, I say this all the time, I'm like a proud mum. I just love to see all of the winners, but especially with the students, because it really gives them an opportunity to be able to showcase to the businesses that they're hoping to get into working in what they've done. And so I would like to see a lot of the companies really sit and look at these designs that the students have undertaken, and hopefully they might offer them an opportunity to do an internship program or something in their business. And some of these students never even considered packaging as a career. And now, because we hijacked an industrial design course, they're considering packaging. So that's a fantastic outcome.
It is a fantastic outcome. We certainly need more people to understand that packaging is a great place to work. So that is great.
We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Since 2005, TriMat has been at the forefront of innovative solutions aimed at enhancing productivity and efficiency through cutting-edge technology. For printers and packaging businesses, TriMat offers a comprehensive suite of tailored products. In 2022, TriMat won the APMA Australian Machinery Manufacturer Award for its Cardline 7000, and this year is a finalist for the groundbreaking TriMat ColorStar AQ Digital Inkjet Printing System, which offers vibrant CMYK aqueous printing on a variety of packaging materials with a strong emphasis on sustainability. And now, back to the show.
Now, the other area of work that I'm keen to talk about is what the AIP is doing with regards to the Australasian recycling label and making that information around it and the tools to using it accessible for small and medium enterprises, SMEs. Tell me about your work there.
So for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been working with Oz Industry, and we had a very successful program with them for SMEs, and it was a sustainable packaging design project that we undertook, and it was an opportunity for SMEs to learn a little bit more about their packaging and the use of their packaging, the choice of their packaging, and alternate solutions that possibly had a lower environmental impact. And it was such a successful program, we've rolled out a model for that now, where we have training courses and workshops and seminars, and we roll that out to any SME that would like assistance and support, and we do that regularly. The ARL, we also partnered with AFGC, the National Retail Association, and APCO, and it was a four-way association partnership to develop what's called the ARL Marketplace, and it's designed for SMEs as well. The marketplace is still a continuation at the moment. It's we've only been doing it for about 2 years, this project. And again, the idea is that the AIP supports the marketplace with training, access to expertise and support for SMEs in packaging design. And then also the marketplace is there, and we've been building it with learning modules. We've just finished another 7 learning modules in the last 2 weeks. And all of these tools, again, to make sure that everything is accessible free of charge for SMEs. And for us, it's about making sure that it's easy for them, and that it's not too technical or not too overwhelming, and making sure that SMEs are on an equal platform with the multinationals. And you and I both know that the multinationals have larger budgets, they have larger teams, they have access to more resources to be able to create sustainable packaging, whereas SMEs are just trying to keep their business afloat, and this is a really overwhelming topic for them. And so what we're trying to do is make it easy for them and accessible for them, and help them to understand that we're here to support them. And I think we've done very well with the program. We'll continue doing it. And I think with the federal government's future mandates, we need to ensure that even with when the mandates come, we need to ensure that the SMEs have the same equal footing as the multinationals.
And you've recently signed an agreement to work with Empower. Can you tell us about that?
We have. So jumping from what we've been doing with SMEs, we decided that life cycle assessment is one of those really overwhelming topics for them. And it's not only overwhelming for them in terms of what it really is and how to use a tool, an LCA tool, it's also the cost, the expense of it. So the biggest barrier for SMEs to access LCA tools to undertake life cycle assessment when they're moving from one material to another is the cost. And so we've been working with Empower for a number of years to create a customized solution that again takes that burden off the shoulders of the SME. And so it's not only affordable, it's easy for them to use, and all of the heavy lifting is undertaken by Empower, not by them. And so we launch that next week. And again, we're really hoping that it will support SMEs when they are making those choices and they're making internal decisions about, do I move from X plastic to fibre, for example, that they have undertaken the LCA and determined that with evidence and science?
Well, I know that we've only touched the tip of the iceberg of all the work that AIP does. I know you are also involved in heaps of training programs across the world. And one of the things you mentioned to me the other day is that although AIP stands for the Australian Institute of Packaging, we refer to you more as the AIP now because you may need to change your nomenclature or something so that people understand that it is the Australasian Institute of Packaging, but it is so much more. Good luck with trying to rework that into a logo.
I think that Lindy, with that, you are right. The AIP was born out of Australia, but we support New Zealand. We have a significant amount of members in New Zealand. We have a significant amount of members growing every day in the Philippines, and we support all of Southeast Asia when they require training and education. And so, yes, we have to stop calling ourselves the Australian Institute because we're really not anymore.
I guess if you said Australasian, would that just solve the problem?
Watch this space.
Yeah, okay, all right, I'm with you. All right, well, by the time the listeners are listening to this podcast, we will have opened for entries our very exciting PKN Women in Packaging Awards program. And you, Nerida, have been kind enough to become a judge on the judging panel with my other judges. And the reason I asked you first and foremost, of course, is because of our long association with the AIP and the Women in Packaging programs that we have run typically at a conference or sometimes independently, but always with AIP support. So I wanted to thank you for that and also ask you to express why this is so dear to your heart as it is to mine.
I think, as you know, Lindy, when we originally developed these programs, the timing was perfect because we had launched the first Women in Packaging Mentoring program. And so when you and I were discussing all those years ago, the opportunity to then take that and create a forum as well, it was a perfect opportunity. When I first started in this industry, and I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was, there were hardly any women. And the women that were here in the industry were predominantly food scientists and food technologists. And so it was really important for me, and it's still important for me, that I think it's important that the younger generations can see that there are fantastic women leading the industry in every corner of the globe now. And it has changed rapidly, particularly over the last 2.5 decades. And I think that for me, it's just ensuring that they have access to mentors and guidance and support, and that they can see that there are leaders in food and beverage companies. There are leaders that are females in every aspect of packaging and processing, and even in machinery now. We're starting to see more women in engineering, in machinery, which is fantastic. And so it's important not only for me, but it's important for the AIP and every board that we've ever had since we launched with you, because we want to make sure that, again, it's that equal platform, and so that women know that there are perfect examples out there, there are mentors available for them, and anything that we can do to recognize anyone in the industry for their outstanding work is critical to who we are. And so when you launched the Women in Packaging Awards, it just makes sense that it's just an addition to what we do with you, because we're all about recognition. And it's very important for us to recognize individuals that are doing remarkable work. And so I think we're going to see some exceptional women coming out of this awards program.
Well, we'd like to encourage as many people to put themselves forward or say to their line manager, hey, have you seen this? Or for other people to nominate their peers or colleagues that they think are really worth recognizing. And what it does really is it, even though, yes, we agree that everybody should be, despite gender, should be recognized, and there is a place for that in other awards programs, I do feel that at the moment, the time is right for us to particularly celebrate women, because that will encourage more women to look at packaging as an industry that they could consider a career in, if they believe that you go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated, you know? So I think there's a lot to be said for that. So to wrap this up, Nerida, thank you so much for joining us and getting us up to date with everything. And good luck on your next adventure, which sounds like that's off to Hungary. And we hope that we're going to hear more from you as the episodes roll around with the work that you're doing with the Save Food Consortium as well. So any last message for the industry?
I think that what's really important is to, especially with the awards about to be launched, to stop and look at the people that work in and around you and take some time to recognize them. And it's not any different from the PETA Awards. It's taking time to support entries into these award programs, because that one recognition, particularly for some younger people or newer females in the industry, could change their life. And we've seen that happen through the PETAs. And so for everybody listening, your support to help enter someone into this awards could change their direction in this industry and their career path. And so please, please enter people and support them and help recognize them.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. Thanks everybody for listening, and I'll hand over to Grant.
Well, thanks, Lindy. Thanks, Nerida. And as you said, thanks to everyone who's been joining us today and listening to this episode, which was brought to you by TriMat. Don't forget, if you enjoyed what you've heard, you can follow us in your favorite podcatcher to ensure you get every episode as they're released. We'll be back in the not too distant future with another informative discussion, possibly featuring Nerida, but possibly another guest. But until then, have a great day.
The PKN Podcast is produced by Southern Skies Media on behalf of PKN Packaging News, owned and published by Yaffa Media. The views of the people featured on this podcast do not necessarily represent those of PKN Packaging News, Yaffa Media, or the guest's employer. The contents are copyright by Yaffa Media. If you wish to use any of this podcast audio, please contact us via the website or send an email to editor@packagingnews.com.au. You can subscribe to this podcast via your preferred platform and read all the latest news on Australia's packaging industry at packagingnews.com.au.
You've been listening to a Yaffa Media podcast.
Southern Skies Media.